show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Saskatchewan country artist Donnie Perronto is my special guest on this edition of In the Country. He's here to talk about his latest album, To Whom It May Concern. I've got a brand new single to play from that, plus the title track. He's also going to catch us up on all his latest news, including how he did at the Saskatchewan Country Music Awards recently. He had a Juno nomination this year as well. And again, I'll be playing a couple of songs from his latest CD. Time now to welcome Donnie Perronto. Hey, Donnie.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, doing just terrific. How about yourself?
Oh, fantastic.
There's a lot of exciting things going on, aren't they?
Well, there definitely is. I mean, I'm in a very good place right now and good time in my life, and things are going well. I'm very blessed.
Awesome, and I'm really excited to share the new single, Mama Taught Me Love, which a lot of our listeners will have heard on the radio already, but they're in for a treat. It is such a great song. We'll get to that in a moment. Tell us about you had 7 Saskatchewan Country Music Association nominations, and
yes,
you took home a couple of those, including one very special one.
Yeah, there's one very special one. I ended up taking Fiddle Player of the Year this year, and also there was an Achievement Award that they had surprised me with that night, and the Achievement Award was basically given for my involvement with Telemiracle and for also writing the new theme song for Telemiracle with Brad Johnner and myself. And there's another special thing that I've been doing for about the past 5 years now. It's called It Starts With a Dream, and it's a school tours that I do all over Saskatchewan, and we're about to branch out and probably take this clear across Canada.
Wow, that is great news, because you had talked about that last time, and just how important these talks are and the message that you're passing on. You're basically letting them know, you know, it's great to dream and to follow those dreams, and
mm-hmm.
maybe tell us a bit more about that.
Well, basically, what it comes down to is the simple steps that I follow with my life, and I still follow to this day, is I always tell them, number one, it starts with a dream. Number two, you need to believe it. You have to believe with what you're dreaming. You need to. Don't worry about other people believing it, as long as you do. And number
right.
three, you have to visualize it. So the visualization thing is tough to explain to the kids, you know, because I speak to children from 5 years old right through to 17 to 20-year-old kids. And even
right.
teachers. So the thing is explaining this to a five-year-old, they say, what's visualization mean? How do you do that? And I say, close your eyes and imagine yourself doing it. Imagine yourself being that person that you want to be. You have to imagine it. I said, that's how you visualize something. So I said, but never lose sight of that visualization. Don't lose sight of it. Because I said, the next step you take is number 4, and that's you need to make the attempt. You need to make the attempt. You need to start moving. It's like getting up off the couch and walking over to shut off the light switch. It's not just
right,
going to shut
right.
itself off. You have to make the attempt. You got to get up and start towards that goal. Start walking. Do whatever you got to do to get to there. But I said, then there's sacrifice along the way. That's number 5. And they say, well, what sacrifice did you have? And I said, well, the sacrifice I had was a big one, because I said goodbye to my family at the age of 19 and went on the road 300 days a year. And I ended up losing my dad 4 years later to cancer, and that was one of the biggest sacrifices that I had, was being away from him all that time. And he knew the dream that I was reaching for, that I was striving for so hard to get to.
Yeah.
And then number 6 is actually obtaining your goal and to achieve it and to get it. And then some people come back to me and they say, well, what if you follow those 6 steps and you don't get to it? I say,
right.
well, you don't give up. You never stop trying. Keep trying.
You give it another
and a
shot.
Little girl, exactly. And there was a little girl that told me one time at a reservation I went to speak at, and she was in the 7th grade. She got up front and basically said that as long as you try to achieve your goal, at least you can put your head down on your pillow at night saying that I did the best I could and I tried.
Wow.
It's sure a lot better to go to sleep at night thinking that way than saying,
yeah. Yeah.
wondering in the back of your mind, could you have done it or could you not have? Because I don't like
right.
seeing people in their life when they get older and they sit back and say, you know, I think I could have been a musician. I think I could have done this. You know what? Do it.
Yeah.
Because you only have one life.
This
only
is so
one
true.
One time.
It's better to better to try and even fail. At least, as you said, you don't wonder what could have been because you know you at least tried.
Well, exactly. You know, and yeah. that's how some people can measure success. It's a matter of how, you know, if you're going to fall down, how many times can you fall down but keep getting up?
Every time
you get up, you succeed that much better. And the way I look at life is a real different. The way I look at everything I do, it's like a ladder. And people say, well, what do you mean? I said, every step you take on the ladder, you're going up higher. But remember, as you're going by people, if you're passing somebody on that ladder, be nice to that person. Because everyone also comes down the ladder the same way you go up. And when you're coming down the ladder, you run into that same person. They're going to do one of two things. They're going to help you down the ladder or they're going to push you off. So I said, be nice to those people.
Exactly.
Be nice on the way up.
Nice on the way up. You're going to be on the way down at some point. And it's just a good rule to be kind to people because you are going to run into them and kindness just kind of comes back around to you.
Well, exactly. You know, you know, since we spoke about this last time, the only difference that I'm bringing to the students is communication. Oh, man, is it changing and it's going so fast because even look what we're doing right now. We're talking. We're doing an interview that's being aired all over the world on the Internet.
Exactly.
And this is what I mentioned to the students. I mentioned to them that, okay, I want everybody to put up their hand in the room if you have a cell phone. You would be amazed at how many five-year-old kids have cell phones. 5 years old. You'd be amazed. And then I say, okay, let's add to that. How many people in this room know how to text? Again, more people put their hands up. And here's the big clincher. And I tell the teachers, I said, teachers, watch this. How many people in this room have been on Facebook? And kaboom, everybody in the room puts up their hand. And I say, here's what's happening. Technology is moving so fast and at such an extremely quick rate that the one thing that we're forgetting how to do, you're communicating with your fingers. You're communicating with your hands. You're forgetting how to talk.
Right.
And if you forget how to talk, you're losing what's called people skills. And those people skills are disappearing. People don't know how to talk to their parents anymore. They'd rather text their parents. Is supper ready? I'm downstairs in the basement playing a game. Is supper ready? Text me when dinner's ready. You know, and I said, that's wrong. Families need to communicate. And it's not just the students. It's the parents, too. It's everybody. That's what I find is missing in the world, communication. Because if communication ends up missing, here's something else that I've been talking about lots as well, is bullying. Because it's all connected.
That's a big topic these days.
It is all connected. And as it's connected, it's connected this way. Parents, if you're not talking to your students, you're not talking to the kids, when they come home and find out how was your day, what's going on? Are you being bullied? Is something happening at school? But yet, some parents are finding out on Facebook that their kids are being bullied, that there's problems going on. And you're hearing this on Facebook instead.
Yeah.
Why are you not talking to your children?
Yeah.
And then some parents may be on the other line or listening to our interview right now saying, hey, I tried talking to my kids. They don't talk back. Well, keep working at it. It's like anything. It's like I said in the beginning of our conversation. It's like walking up and turning on the light switch. You going to stop?
That's right.
No, you got to keep going. Keep at them.
You got to keep attempting it. Let's turn to the music now. That's great.
Let's
message.
Go.
There's a lot there. And this song kind of ties into the whole thing about being raised right, I guess, and all that. And the song is called Mama Taught Me Love. And it's, the song you're earlier listening to, I find it a very beautiful song. It's your latest single at radio. And you wrote this with a couple of big hit writers as well. Tell us about the song itself and writing.
Well, the song itself, the idea come from when I went to Nashville to do some songwriting with Harry Stinson. Harry Stinson's a well-known producer, Grammy-nominated producer. He plays drums for Marty Stewart as well. But just an amazing writer, an amazing human being. And he actually co-wrote the song Wild Angels for Martina McBride. So when Harry told me one day, he said, we're going to be writing with a guy by the name of Jim Photoglow. I wasn't familiar with Jim's work until we showed up to Jim's house, and it was like this big mansion in Nashville, and I come walking in, and I'm seeing all these accolades on the wall, and we haven't really met him yet. And I looked at Harry, and I kind of whispered to Harry, who is this guy? And he looked at me, and he said, Fishing in the Dark? I said, yeah. He said, he wrote it. And I went, oh, man. So when I walked in the room and we sat down, we just all met each other, and it was great because everybody opened their case. And what's nice is everybody opened their case the same way. They treated me no different than if I was just a writer that he wrote with every day. And that's what made me feel good. That's the way they made me feel in this room. And I had just as much a part to do with this song as any of them. So what we did was Jim asked me, what do you want to write about today? And I said, well, I've never written a song for my mom before. And he said, well, tell me about your mom. And I said, well, I said, Mom, I'm the youngest of four kids. And I heard that when I was little, I said, I can remember one Christmas that we only had four presents under the tree. There was four of us, and they weren't wrapped. And I asked my mom later when I was about 16 years old, how come those presents weren't wrapped, Mom? She said, you're lucky you got them. They come from the Salvation Army that year because we didn't have enough money to buy you a Christmas present. So I thought, well, okay. So then I asked her further, and I said, well, what was it like? And she told me that she managed to scrape up $300 in 1 year of working off of minimum wage to put us into our first house. It was a brand new home. It was low-income housing. And the house at that time cost $12,500. So a $300 down payment towards that is what got us into our first home. And I look back on everything and the sacrifices that my mom did. And in the meantime, I'm watching these guys, and they're just looking at me glued and listening to my stories and what I'm saying, and they're writing.
Yep.
They're writing down things. And Jim looks at me, and he says, Jim was the one that said it. He said, do you know what your mom taught you? I said, what's that? He said, your mom taught you how to love. He said, and that's the name of the song.
Isn't that something?
And that's all Mom
Amazing.
And Bobby Love come to be.
Amazing. Let's share the song now. We got lots more to talk about when we come back. But this is the latest from Donnie Peranto, Mama Taught Me Love, on In the Country.
Daddy showed me how to throw a baseball, change the oil, and change a tire. He rode shotgun when I learned to drive. I learned when to turn a cheek or take a stand. What my daddy thought a boy needs to know to be a man. But Mama taught me love. Mama taught me sweetness.
That's the latest radio single from Saskatchewan country artist Donnie Peranto, Mama Taught Me Love. Now, Donnie, you were telling me earlier that before the show that Marty Stewart is playing on that song?
Yes, Marty Stewart played mandolin on that tune. And how that come to be was I had talked with Harry in the studio when we were cutting, and I actually played the mandolin in the studio, and I was messing around with it, and I stopped, and I said, Harry, I said, would it be too much to ask if we asked a special guest to play mandolin on this song? And he said, who? And I said, would you ask your boss? Ask Marty. And he said, okay. He said, it's a simple question. Let's just ask. He said, what's the worst he can say is no? So we sent him the song that night. He called us back the next morning and said, tell Donnie I'll gladly do it. So we got Marty Stewart on this one. And it was amazing. I mean, he does such a good job on the tune. It was just it makes the tune, definitely. I mean, for me it does. I mean, when I hear how he blended in with everybody and played along, and nobody else could have played it any better than that.
It's such a beautiful song. Is there anybody, Donnie? There, we talked about Marty Stewart just now. Is there anybody else in the music world that you haven't worked with yet that's at the top of your list, whether it's singing with or just working in the studio with?
Well, you know, somebody asked me that question before. They said, if you could ever meet somebody that you never had the opportunity to meet, well, even when I was touring with Neil McCoy, because we met pretty much everybody in the industry back then.
I'll bet.
All except Willie Nelson. I've never met Willie. And I said, I would love to absolutely sit down and talk with Willie Nelson and meet him and just kind of find out what makes him tick. And I think,
thing you like about Willie Nelson, for example, like his songwriting, his own, he's got his own unique voice. What is it about?
Do you know what I love about Willie Nelson more than anything is the versatility of the guy, because he's so versatile with being a songwriter, being a singer. If people listen to the way Willie Nelson sang in the very beginning of his career, that's not the way Willie sounds today, but the way Willie sang in the very beginning, I can remember that, to finding and molding himself to that creative person he is right now. And the versatility, what I'm talking about, is the styles of music that he can throw at you, from everything from jazz to blues to rock to country. There's so much to Western swing. He's a big Western swing buff. And I mean, listening to him play and to take the classical guitar and to blend it in with all of those I just mentioned, I mean, it's absolutely incredible, you know. And he was actually just honored, too, I heard, in Austin, Texas, with a statue. They have a statue of Willie Nelson now in Austin, Texas.
Isn't that great? And his versatility, you know, he covers other songs. That's part of what he does now. Do you have favorite cover songs, Donnie? Songs that you, whether they're from country or another genre, but that you like to sing in your shows?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the biggest influence that I had ever since I was a little kid for country singers, if I could imitate somebody or try to imitate the guy, it would be Merle Haggard. Haggard. And what I love about Haggard is the fact that he's a storyteller when he writes his songs. The way he writes his songs, he writes his songs very personal. And that's why if people know me and know my music, they'll see that similarity. That it's you know, I'm not trying to compare myself with Merle Haggard by no means, but the way that I write, I believe, is the way he writes. He writes, you know, straight from him, because there is only one Haggard, but then again, there is only one me.
Exactly.
So there is only one of you. There's only one individual. So if you can write about yourself and people can adapt to what you're writing and say, hey, that reminds me of my mom, or that reminds me of my dad or my family, you know, it works out pretty cool.
It does, and it's coming straight from your heart. You're not trying to be somebody else. You're being you, and people can pick up on that. They know when it's genuine or not.
Yeah. You know, Dave, and I think that's the most important thing. It's not a trick. It's just, you know, be yourself. Be yourself when you're out there performing. No matter what you do, if you're yourself when you're out there performing, it's great. And if people buy it, wonderful.
Yep. Better to be, what's the saying, it's better to be liked for who you are, or not liked for who you are than liked for who you're not, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Let's turn to another one of your songs here. This is, in fact, the title track. This is going to showcase some more great songwriting. It's called To Whom It May Concern, and it's going to be your next single as we get closer to summer. Well, what can you share about this song, Donnie?
This song was written 100% by me, and I'm very proud of this tune. And basically how I started writing it is, I remember I was in the hotel room in Nashville. My wife was still sleeping, and I had this idea popping in my head. And it was just like a letter that I was going to write to somebody. To Whom It May Concern was the name of it right off the bat. And I started writing this, and it was more of a ballad in the beginning. And I thought, no, this needs to be up. And I found the melody, and it just all blended together. And as soon as I found the melody and the first couple of lines, the song just poured out of me instantaneously. And it was one of those songs that I wrote really quick, and it turned out great. And Harry loved it, and they did a fantastic job in the studio cutting it, and that's why I want to release this during the summertime, because it's a very up, positive song.
Definitely.
It's just okay, you bet.
Let's share it now with our listeners, Donnie Peranto, and To Whom It May Concern, here on In the Country.
To whom it may concern, you'll know just who you are. Maybe there's so many pieces of your broken heart. I make my living with a song that can heat you from the cold. You open up and let it rain over your soul. To whom it may concern. Left me all battered and bruised. Remember, you're not alone, though you feel that way at times. Hope you're on your way to better days with these few lines. To whom it may concern.
Saskatchewan country artist Donnie Peranto, the title track to his current album, and that will be released to radio a bit later towards the summer. It's called To Whom It May Concern. Great song there, Donnie.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, I understand your website, DonnieParanto.com. It's there, but it's under construction at the moment. If listeners want to buy the album, it's available on iTunes?
You betcha. Yeah, you can just go to iTunes, and then the website situation will be taken care of as of this evening. So he's just going through some quick updates and everything just for today.
Good stuff. Have you ever written a song with somebody else in mind, Donnie? In other words, not for yourself, but thinking in terms of pitching it, a song that might be right for somebody else, one of your heroes maybe?
Do you know what? I mean, there was actually a couple of times that I did that, and there was an idea that I had for a couple of songs. There's two different artists, and the one is actually my old boss, Neil McCoy. I wanted to write a song for him that him and I could do together.
Oh, nice.
Then also in that same concept, I've also become really good friends with a buddy of mine, Kenny Shields, and Streetheart. And how I met Kenny Shields was through Telemiracle, and we had the same thing. Because the way that I, when I look at Kenny, Kenny's still out there performing, and he just sounds as good today as he did back when they first started. He's an incredible human being. And I said, I would love to write a song for you, basically letting everybody out there in the world know and just say, and the hook behind the song was, I'm still here. I'm still here doing what I'm doing. And I said, I'd love to write a song for you about that. And he told me, he said, write it. And he said, if I like it, he said, I'll do it. So definitely, yeah. So have I ever thought of that? Yeah, there's been a few times in two different genres altogether. So it's just
interesting.
I love challenges like that. It's great.
Yeah, it must be cool to try to write, because you'd write these great country songs, to try to do something a little outside of that would be a challenge, I'm sure, like a good challenge.
Well, you know, the big challenge that we did have recently was Brad Johnner and I wrote a song last year for Telemiracle.
Right.
And the thing is we both had to take off the country hats and say, this got to be country. This has to be something mainstream, something poppy. How are we going to do this? What are we going to talk about? And that's exactly what him and I did. And Telemiracle loved it so much that they made that their new theme song now.
That is awesome. What a goal. And you talked about that earlier, too, with the Achievement Award at the recent Saskatchewan Country Music Association Awards. You won Fiddle Player of the Year as well. Johnny, I want to thank you so much for the time. We're just about out. Before we leave, I wanted to ask you about your goals for the year. You got any specific goals you want to accomplish in 2012?
You know, my goals for this year are basically to do another CD. I want to do another album and to get that done. And the collaboration, I'm going to have a couple of special artists on there that I'm working on right now collaborating with. My wife and I are actually headed to Paris, France in July, and I've been invited to headline a show there on the 7th of July. So I'm taking a couple of my band members with me and some band members from Toronto and going to do that. Also a couple of other really special events that are up and coming this year. And so everybody just keep your eyes and ears peeled and check out DonnieParano.com and feel free to email me if you have any other questions or anything. And I've always appreciated the interviews with you, Dave.
Awesome, Donnie. Always a pleasure. It's great to chat with you again and to hear those songs. I especially love Mama Taught Me Love. It's a great one. I wish you all the best with that now that it's a radio. And thanks for the time, Donnie.
Well, thank you so much for the time back at you.
Awesome. My guest today has been Saskatchewan country artist Donnie Paranto, his latest album, To Whom It May Concern, and you can head to iTunes to download that. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.